Welcome to tonight's episode of Well-Rounded Corners. I'm Ruth Ann.
And I'm Robert.
And we're delighted to have with us this evening a very special guest, and we'll get to her in just a moment. I'd first like to remind everyone about our website, wellroundedcorners.com. You can listen to all of our past shows there for free, and you can also find us on iTunes by searching Well-Rounded Corners. If you'll subscribe to us on iTunes, all your new shows will be automatically downloaded to your computer or iPod within 48 hours of broadcast. You can also listen to us in the archives of our BBS radio page or live every other Tuesday on BBS Radio Channel 1. And now that we've gotten that out of the way, on to the best part of the show.
Yes. We're delighted to have Brigitte Racine with us tonight. She's a writer, poet, producer, entrepreneur, and serves as the chief evolution officer of Luchita Incorporated, a hybrid design and communications firm committed in its work and practices to sustainability. She is also the producer of the well-known Mayan Calendar Portal, a.k.a. the MCP, the leading portal website dedicated to the sacred Mayan calendar. So, if you wouldn't mind, just tell us a little bit more about yourself and how you got started.
Hi there. Thank you so much, Robert and Ruth Ann, for having me on the show. So, the way that this Mayan Calendar Portal started was actually in 2006 when we were approached to build a small portal site dedicated to the Mayan calendar. And when we did that, it was originally Flash-based. And despite the fact that it was Flash-based, it quickly rose up the ranks of Google and was, I think, number three. And you might know that Flash isn't very friendly for SEO, so that was a surprise. And we let the site be. It became very popular over the next couple of years. And then in 2009, we said, well, you know, we can't edit or maintain the site very easily because it is Flash-based. And so we decided we have a decision to make. We either take it down or we really ramp it up. And that's what we decided to do. We ramped it up. We put it onto a content management system and put social media, plugged in all the platforms into it, and just really revved up the content and built it out. So it's a pretty large website. It has everything from a marketplace. It has a huge Facebook presence. We're now over 23,500 fans, and some of them, actually I would say many of them, rely on a daily basis on the energies of the day that we post, which I'll go into a little bit later. So the site is quite vast in terms of what it seeks to do. And the mission and purpose of it is quite simple. And that is to provide information and knowledge about the Mayan calendar to non-Maya audiences and do so with respect, because we find that there is so much misinformation out there, especially on the internet, where things aren't really curated. People can post whatever they want. And it's very difficult for people to get to the truth. One, because they're too busy. Everybody's very busy. And the amount of research that's required to get to the bottom of something as complex as the Mayan calendar is quite time consuming. And I speak from direct experience on that.
Yeah. Well, what I would like to know, I mean, I did look through the site, and I think it's fascinating, and I'm so glad you're doing this. What I think would help, I mean, from my point of view, I think many of our listeners probably already have some preconceived ideas of what 2012 is all about and what the Mayans were about and what they really meant and so on and so forth. If you wouldn't mind, if you just tell us, you know, give us the basics of what type of people they were and you know, a little bit more about the truth about 2012 and the, boy, I just gave you a whole lot to talk about, didn't I? Well, at once. Anyway, you know, just a little bit that's not just what someone heard from someone or just made up.
Right. Well, gosh, where do I begin?
So I that was a lousy question, but sorry. You know, it's too broad. But I guess first, if you tell us something about the Mayans and why do so many people have such an interest in them?
Well, you know, I think because at the bottom of it all, if you really think about it, none of us would really be able to function without time. And time is something that we have this built-in need to measure and to cut up and fragment it and present it in all sorts of ways to each other. You know, for example, this show wouldn't happen if we didn't have a way to say, okay, on this day, at this time, on this platform, we're going to meet.
Sure.
We would just be kind of random quirks running around in the universe, and if we happened to bump each other, great, and we would do a show. But, you know, that would take a few million light years. So time is critical, and the Maya were people who devoted a tremendous amount of mind space and their, quite frankly, all of their intelligence and their attention to the system of timekeeping. But they weren't the first ones. The Mayan calendar was not invented by the Maya. It is believed that the Olmecs before them had already developed a version of it. And now things are coming to light where, you know, you're getting into the BC era. So you're talking quite a tremendous length of time. And early peoples, even before the Olmecs, who actually started to create what would later become the Mayan calendar. Now, the reason it's called the Mayan calendar, not the Olmec calendar, not the Aztec calendar, is because the Maya were the ones who built it out the most. So what happened is that they, because of that legacy, and despite all of the destruction by the Spanish conquest, somehow that legend lasted. And, you know, for whatever reason, caught the imagination of subsequent generations. And it could quite be because of the level of violence and oppression that took place. I think that, you know, if you look at the reason we watch movies and the reason that a lot of really violent and dramatic movies are so successful is because there's something in us that just grabs us. If everything is peace, love, and happiness, we don't respect it as much. It's not so interesting. So that could be the reason why the Maya, more than any other people, are associated with their calendar. Now, there are some people who think the Maya no longer exist. And, of course, there are millions of Maya who still live in Guatemala and Central America. They're very much alive. Some of them are assimilated into the Hispanic cultures of Central America. But, you know, they are very proud of their culture, and only recently have they been able to start practicing their own faith, I guess I can call it, their own culture, their own calendar, their own spirituality. Before, they were not even allowed to speak Quiche in Guatemala or Yucatec. You know, there are different Maya languages that they speak. So they've had a long history of oppression, even to this day. Does that begin to sort of give an idea?
Yes.
Of
wow.
You know, when people talk about Mayans, they often use the past tense. I mean, I think we were guilty of that here.
Yes.
In that we said the Mayans were. You know, we use these past tense verbs.
Yes, I noticed that after I said it. Actually, I thought, they were.
but that's quite common, isn't it? I mean, books.
It's starting to get harder for me because I'm in this world so much that, you know, and I speak to one day keeper in particular in Lomos de Nango in Guatemala, and they have this thing called Expo Maya every year. And if you go to our site and you look at the events section, you'll see it right there, and it's happening in March. And it's a little exhibit, a little festival that they do, and it's becoming more and more popular, and I think it's wonderful. And that's what they set it up. And the Maya daykeeper that I speak to, Don Rigoberto, he's always open to having more and more people come. So they're opening up to the world. In fact, it might interest your readers, your audiences, to know that they are now, especially this particular family in Lomos de Nango, he is now on Facebook. He's got his YouTube channel going on.
Wow, cool.
And he's blogging for our site. So now he does blog in Spanish because he speaks no English, so we try to get that translated as much as we can. And some of the topics are not immediately relatable because they're he's coming from a completely different world.
But
the point is that I'm just bowled over by the fact that here's this Maya gentleman who's, you know, well on in his years using Facebook and YouTube. I think it's fantastic.
That is amazing. And it's so nice that through your efforts and through their efforts, that the culture can not only stay alive, but also have a digital representation, which seems to be, especially to the modern generation, seems to be very important because, I mean, you know, even older people in our society who are not using Facebook and YouTube and various things like that, in some ways they're being excluded and feel excluded. And so I can only imagine how that could be in this situation. But your efforts have really worked towards negating that and bringing them, I don't know, that's not the correct word, bringing them into this age, but more making it to where they can communicate with us in our, for better or worse, digital.
Giving them a voice, basically.
Essentially, yeah.
You know, that's a wonderful thing. If I look at it that way, I think it's wonderful. If I look at it as, I think of indigenous groups of people, and I think of sometimes what they lose when they join, as some people would say, the 21st century, but on the other hand, giving them a voice is a wonderful thing. And if people can learn, you know, what the real history is and what the real culture is, then your project will have succeeded. So.
Yes. And I think, you know, the growth of our Facebook page is testament to that, because we, there are no other Facebook pages dedicated to the Mayan calendar that are nearly as large. And this is not, you know, there's nothing financial behind it. It's just the numbers of people who sign up every single day. And we're now seeing quite a powerful growth, actually. And people who keep coming back, and they visit the page every day. And if we don't, if somehow we miss a day or don't post on time the energies of the day, we've got people going, hey, where's the Mayan calendar energy? I need my fix. They literally say that. It's like, you know, I don't want to say addiction to the Mayan calendar, but it's a need.
Well, could you explain those? You've mentioned that several times, the energies of the day. Could you explain how that works?
Sure, absolutely. So let me back up a second and just give a little bit of a background. The Mayan calendar is actually a system of calendars. So there isn't just one. There is something called the Tzolk'in, which is spelled T-Z-O-L-K-I-N, and that is a Yucatec word. It's in K'iche', it would be Tzolk'ij. And that is a personal ritual calendar. It's a calendar that measures what's called sacred time, and that's why the title of my book is called Living in Sacred Time, because it's about the Tzolk'in calendar. It's kind of like, if you think about, again, going back to the business nature of keeping time in Western society, you know, when do you need to be at school? When do you need to be meeting? That's called ordinary time. It's used for accounting. It's used for business, agriculture, you know, all of those kinds of practical business things.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. That I was reading on your website about that, and the way you just described that, you know, that makes sense. It's kind of like I would keep my planner.
Yes, your planner is your ordinary timekeeper.
Yes, that's so, really nice. Yeah.
Yeah, and sacred time, those can be moments like, for example, where you decide, I'm not going to work on that task now. I'm going to take a bath with some salt, and I'm going to light candles, and I'm going to be lost to the world for however long it takes. And also when you travel, for example, when you go on vacation, you know how even if you go away for a weekend, somehow that weekend expands into a month's worth of experiences and sentiments and impressions.
Yes.
So time does change depending on your concentration and your awareness of it. And that's what the Maya call sacred time. So they really live with both. And I think sacred time is something that we miss here. And that's why so many people are getting sick. They're stressed out. They become angry. They lash out at their families. There's not enough. I think there's not enough sacred time in our lives. So to get back to the Mayan calendar again, so the Tzolk'in measures sacred time. And the way that it works in a nutshell is you have 20 day signs, and each of those day signs has a different name and a different glyph. You can see that on our site, is that it's that big blue wheel that you come to when you click, for example, on the Tolkien calculator.
Is that the middle ring that you're
Yes, seeing? Okay. Yes, that's the middle ring, and it has the 20-day signs. And those carvings are actually authentic Maya glyphs. We did not make those up. And then the inner ring are the 13 numbers. The numbers work... If you think of the bar as signifying 5 and the dot signifying 1, then obviously a bar with a dot over it would mean 6, and that's how that works. And so the Tolkien has 13 numbers and 20-day signs, and if you multiply those together, 13 by 20, you get 260, and that's the number of days that the Tolkien cycle has. Now, it's set in... Many scholars believe, and the Maya themselves often say that the 260 days represents the human cycle of gestation. It's roughly 9 months.
Oh, yes.
So there are there's a lot of symbolism in the Tolkien. You know, the 20, number 20, for example, refers to how many fingers and toes we have. Number 13 refers to the joints in our body. So if you think of your wrists, your ankles, your hips, and your neck, it adds up to 13. So there's a lot of symbolism built into this calendar. And in the 260 days, they each have their own energy. And that's what we post. Actually, my book, the core body of my book, is a compilation of those 260 energies of the day. And I dare say it's, at least to our knowledge, as far as we could tell when we were doing research, this has not been done before. No one has actually taken the time to interpret every single day for its own particular energy, taking the day sign and the number into consideration. But we went a step further, or I should say I went a step further, and not just interpreting them, but interpreting them in the specific context of modern day life. And that has never been done before.
Wow.
You know, when I look at the calendar and the way you're describing it, I've got it here looking at it. It reminds me of when I look, I mean, I'm interested in astrology, and we've had several other, you know, hosts or guests about that. I'm reminded of a chart, when I see this and the way that the, you know, progressions move through it. And you mentioned something there that sort of reminded me about, you know, the different energies of the day. How would you compare this to Western astrology?
It's very different. You know, if you're born on, let's say, in November sometime, then you're a Scorpio. So the date of your birth depends on, you know, where in that month or that 30-day period it falls. Mm-hmm. And it's related to the stars, the position of the stars. Now, I'm not an astrologer. I'm a poet and a writer, so I come at it from kind of a different perspective. But Mayan astrology it looks at the 20-day signs as what they call lords of the day. So in other words, they look at the day, the way that, you know, the Earth spins around its axis every 24 hours. So it's not really based on the stars. It has to do with the day. So they're actually much more down to earth than Western astrology, at least.
Oh, literally.
Right. So it's some of the same concepts in terms of you know, how, when you're born or the day and how that interacts with it. But instead of being based on more the solar system and the stars, it's more, you're saying, based on their calendar itself and the time that they, and the sacred time of that middle ring.
It's based on the experience of time right here on planet Earth.
That's interesting.
And I think that's critical. Mm.
The third ring, the ring outside of it, what is that?
So those are the 13 deities or gods that are very often associated with the 13 numbers. Now, these particular deities, those are the Aztec forms, because the Maya forms are difficult to come by, although they do exist. These deities also, we were researching them early on. We know more about them now. And in fact, in my book, there's a section called The Numbers. And the numbers include references to each deity and what it represents. So that, you know, that's a whole other discussion about the Mayan gods. There are many, many Mayan gods. But if you're talking about the Tolkien, think of the day signs as lords of the day, or there's actually a word that's used very often to describe them, and that's a nawal, which means kind of the spirit ruler of that particular day. And the numbers are considered to be feminine in nature. The day signs are considered to be masculine in nature. And the pairing is kind of like a sacred marriage, if you will. So it's you know, the deeper you go, it's kind of like a fractal. The deeper you go, you keep seeing the same patterns repeating, but you uncover more and more meaning to it, and it's just breathtaking.
Which is how nature is. That's interesting. Well, we have to take a break here, but when we come back, we'll talk more about the Mayan calendar and the MCP project, maybe discuss 2012 as well. All the information and misinformation that's out there, I'm sure you can help us clear that up. Anyway, we'll be right back.
Want to start a website but don't know how? No problem. The experts at OCS Solutions have you covered. We offer a complete range of internet services, from domain name registration, web hosting, and even our easy-to-use website building tool that allows you to create a website with just a few clicks and be live in minutes. Pick from thousands of templates and samples, upload your own content, or use a mix of both. It's entirely up to you. And don't worry, you won't outgrow OCS. We host websites both small and large. Domain names start at just $8 a year and come loaded with plenty of extras to get you started. Visit OCSDomains.com to learn more or call 1-800-672-8415. That's OCSDomains.com. Or call 1-800-672-8415.
Reiki is a Japanese relaxation technique that promotes healing and balance. It is a form of energy work that helps unblock areas that are affected by illness, stress, grief, anxiety, or other types of trauma, and it can be given in person or from the Reiki practitioner to the recipient at a distance. It is gentle and soothing and is simple to learn as well. Our bodies have the natural ability to maintain health and heal themselves when energy flows smoothly throughout our energy system. And Reiki works well either by itself or along with traditional or alternative medical treatments to help keep energy channels flowing and the mind and body in balance. I offer Reiki, the Ho Chi, and other types of energy sessions in my home in Florence, Alabama, as well as distance Reiki to any location in the world. I also teach Reiki classes from levels 1 through Karuna Reiki Master, as well as La Ho Chi. To learn more, please visit alabamareiki.com. That's alabamareiki.com.
And welcome back to Well-Rounded Corners. We are lucky enough to have with us tonight Brigitte Racine, and she is here to talk to us about the Mayans and about the Mayan calendar and to dispel some of the myths and misinformation about 2012 and how the calendar works. And we're so fortunate to have you with us. And before the break, we were talking about your website, maya-portal.net, and we were talking about the calendar portal. I noticed when I'm looking on your site right now, and I'm on the page of the calendar portal, and I put in, just for the fun of it, my birthday, and I got up, as you always would, three different sections here. Could you explain to us the sacred Mayan tone and just the three parts there and kind of what they mean?
Sure. So you're talking about the rings of the wheel, correct?
Yes, I think that's what I'm talking about. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. I see that you get three results there, and I just, you know, if you could give us a little more information about the tone and the sure. Day sign especially.
Sure. So yeah, so this is, so for the audience, this, what Ruthann is referring to is the Tolkien calculator, which you can access when you first go to the site. It's in the top nav. You can actually, there are two links. One is called Explore Calendar and the other one is Tolkien Calculator. When you explore the calendar, it doesn't allow you to calculate anything. It's just to explore the glyphs, the day signs, the numbers, and the deities. But the Tolkien Calculator actually allows you to put in a date. So if, for example, Ruth, and you put in your birth date, then it will give you your Mayan birth sign. And the Tolkien is used for two different things primarily. One is to calculate your birth sign so you can start to learn more about your karmic background, the energies that were present on the day when you were born. And then also, if it's a day that's not your birthday, you can still use that day to advance your life in any way that you please. You can use it professionally, you can use it personally, you can use it for spiritual growth, emotional growth. It's really a very rich calendar. Now, to answer your question specifically, when you do get your result, it will tell you the number and the day sign of that day. And then it will tell you below when is the next iteration of that day. And that is always, well, it's not always 260 days from today. It's 260 days from whatever that combination is. Because each combination of, you know, let's say, for example, you put in a date that gives you 8 Jichan, then that combination will appear again 260 days from now, because you have 13 numbers and 20 day signs. And so each combination can only appear once within that 260 day cycle. That's how it works. And then you have the wheel, which is a visual representation of that. The inner ring has the numbers. The outer ring has, the middle ring has the day signs, and the outer ring has the deities, which are associated with the numbers. Although the Tolkien, the deities are not part of the Tolkien specifically, it's really the numbers and the day signs.
Okay, and just to be clear for our listeners, that's maya-portal.net. And at the Tolkien calculator link at the top, looks like the third link, if you click that, then you can, I just wanted to have everybody on the same page where they could follow along. You can put in your birthday, month, and year, and it will calculate and determine your birth sign. Looks like you can also click Tolkien, today's Tolkien energy, and it will pull up the date for today.
That's right.
And is that what you call the, we referred in this first segment, I believe you called them today's energy or?
Today's energy has a name, right? So that's what that is referring to. And today is, for example, 5 Kib, which is the sign of the owl or the vulture, and it has to do with the ancestors. So that's the name of the energy of the day. But if you actually want the energy, you do need to interpret what that means. And that's what I was talking about before. That's what we do. That's what we post on our Facebook page. That's what's contained in my book. And we also have a mobile app that posts the or displays the energy of the day. So you can actually be mobile. You can be reading a book. You can be on Facebook, and you get the energies of the day on those three platforms. And we find that's, you know, it pulls everybody who's mobile, people who don't like mobile apps and they want a book, people who are relying on Facebook. So we try to get it out there in as many platforms as possible.
Yeah, you're getting all of the different mediums. So for today, which the day we're recording here, which is today is February the 1st, but the actual when I put it in, I get, like you said, 5 keep, I believe you said.
Yes.
So can you give us sort of a sample of what would be today? And I realize that people listening, this is not going to be for the day you're listening, but what would that, what would a sample interpretation be for this day?
So, the first thing you've got to look at is the number, and the number 5, represents, options. In other words, you might be making hasty decisions. You might rush into a situation that you might regret later, or, you know, say something without concern or worrying about the consequences of your words. So that number brings kind of a nervous, uncertain energy in some ways. So what you've got to do is be careful to think through potential outcomes before you act. And then you blend that together with the meaning of this day sign, which has to do with the ancestors, the concept of sin and pleasure, of forgiveness and pardon, because those concepts they have always been very closely intertwined, right? So values and vices kind of thing. the way that you interpret it, you know, I don't want to use my interpretations as the gold standard, because what the Maya actually teach is that every person has the right to interpret the energies for themselves based on what they need, what they're experiencing. So if you come across people who seem to say, no, it's my way or the highway, and this is the only interpretation for this day, that's a very rigid approach, and the Maya themselves don't endorse that specifically. You do have to know how to do it. You have to do it with respect. You can't just be making stuff up. But it does, it's interesting how, because we have real-time responses on our Facebook page, responses that we can't obviously get through the book or the mobile app. And so Facebook has been incredibly illuminating for us. If you read the comments, consistently people say things like, it looks like you're in my mind. And how did you know this happened for me? And this is exactly what happened for me today. And it's just constant confirmation that somehow these energies work, you know, because I don't know most of those 23,000 people.
Right.
I wish I did. But it's bordering on a small town, you know, so even as the mayor, I just couldn't possibly know them all. So, but we do try to respond to every single question on a personal level. And it's just mind-boggling how many of those people respond proactively saying, this is exactly what I went through today, or this is exactly what I needed, and thank you so much. So there's something about this calendar that is just resonating very profoundly.
So, well, there seemed to be, for me, I'm learning so much tonight here, and the most interesting part to me is that there's so much more to this than just what you hear, you know, a little bit here, oh, the Mayan calendar, everything's going to end, so on and so forth, and which it isn't. But anyway, just want to throw that out there. But the nice part of this to me is that you're capturing the depth of the ties to nature and the culture, and you're making it what it is. You're shining a light on that instead of just making it, you know, a story that's something about the calendar that's the, you know, the one date that everybody seems to know. And I think this is wonderful that you're doing this, and that's amazing. It's accurate, not surprising really, but it's wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, it never ceases to amaze me. And I sat there for a year talking to Domenico Berto and talking to other scholars, because I wanted to respect what I was doing. I mean, somebody just asked me today if I would consider teaching, and I said, absolutely not. I don't feel qualified. I know quite a bit about it, but in order to actually teach, I'm not a day keeper. You have to study with the Maya for quite some time. They have to initiate you. So there's depth there as well. But again, I iterate the difference between a day keeper, who's kind of like an official keeper of time, who can do personal readings for people, is different than interpreting the calendar for yourself. And that's the nice thing, is that you can interpret the calendar for yourself. And if you start to live with it on a daily basis, you'll start to, it's kind of like making 260 friends, you know, that you start to recognize the days and you start to say, oh, Ten Lamat is a great day for, you know, creating abundance in my human relationships because of what the number 10 means and because of what Lamat, the day sign, means. So you start to get to know these things, and you can either do little ceremonies in your house if you want, or just meditate or nothing at all and just live with it. You just, you know, flow it into your consciousness, and it starts to become second nature, which is the whole point.
So the in today's number, for example, 5C, does the energies involved in that, does that apply to everybody universally?
It does, but you know, the amazing thing is that different people will live it differently. You know, so that, I mean, when you read the descriptions of the numbers, it's not like 6 billion or the 7 billion of us who now inhabit the planet are going to live the same kind of life, because we live in different countries, we speak different languages. So we're going to interpret what the number means differently. So, for example, I'm looking at my book, page 30, it talks about the number 5. And it says, it represents the numbers and symmetries embedded in the human experience. The Maya referred to the human hand and the human foot, and also the 5 stages of life, which are childhood, youth, adulthood, mature adult, and elder. And the quality that I was talking about before, about rushing into things, that's because the Maya belief that a person born on a day with the number 5 is an early bird. So they're usually the first to achieve, the first to reach a goal, and they may be ahead of their time, but that also might be, it might lead them to precipitate situations or to do something without thinking. And so if you think about it, that's kind of a broad quality that might apply to just about anyone in any situation. So if, you know, they're basically quintessential concepts to be aware of, and then you apply them to your life, whatever your life is looking like. And it sounds difficult at first, but it's actually incredibly liberating.
So I was just looking here. I calculated my, I put in my birthday, and I got 3 Manik. Oh, I'm saying that right.
Manik,
okay.
Yeah.
And it says next iteration of this sign, February 12th, 2012. What does that mean? Does that mean the next time these two, the inner wheel and the middle wheel come into alignment?
It means that on February 12th, which is coming up very soon, you're going to have a Mayan birthday.
Oh.
So happy birthday, Robert.
Well, thank you. My actual birthday was just yesterday.
Happy birthday again.
So how often do these occur, these iterations occur?
Well, so like I said before, it's every 260 days, right? So because you put in your birthday, which is not today, it was, and keep in mind that the Tolkien doesn't measure your age in years, because it's obviously 260 day cycles, not 365.
Right.
So you're going to have some years you'll have 2 Mayan birthdays, because basically you'll have a Mayan birthday every 260 days. And the celebration that that the Maya recommend is you celebrate the day that you were born. You celebrate the energies on the day that you were born. You don't celebrate how old you are. Isn't that fun?
Oh, I like that idea.
And you could think of it as you have an actual birthday, then you have a spiritual time birthday.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really special. I like that idea.
Yeah.
Is there a way on the site to see the different interpretations or meanings of, for example, like mine, the 3, Manik? Is there a way to see that?
So we have it on Facebook. We have it in the print version of my book.
Sure.
So we're also working on an ebook version of it and the mobile app. So those are currently the only 3 places, but we are working on a way to flow it into the site. But because it, you know, it has to be automated, because otherwise I would never get to sleep if I had to post it. I mean, I'm every single day on Facebook now. So
in your mobile app, you can you can put that in and get that interpretation.
Yes. And actually the mobile app is great, because what it does is every time you launch the app or update the day or whatever, it just, you know, it gives you whatever the energy is for that day. So today it'll give you 5 Sib, tomorrow it'll give you what tomorrow's date will be. But it also has a date calculator built in, so you can put in any day you want, and you can carry that with you. You don't need to be connected to a desktop.
Right.
You don't need to be logged in anywhere. So that's, you know, the portal. And people love the app. I mean, they've been saying how beautiful it is, and some people actually use it on a daily basis, which is, if you study sort of app statistics, that's not very common.
I'm definitely going to check it out. So it's, I assume it's for the iPod, iPhone. Do you have an Android version as well?
We do. Yes, we do.
Wonderful. Okay, great.
Yeah. So it's for the iPad. We just recently updated a beautiful new scaled up version, so it fills the screen of your iPad. So you've got the iPad version, the iPhone, iPod Touch, and Android smartphones.
Very neat. Okay. All right. Well, and people can search that on the iTunes store, or I assume there's a link to your.
It's
up at the top here. I see the banner at the top here.
Yeah, if you go to the homepage of our site, there's a slideshow there, and I think the second slide It's called MCP Mayan Solkin. And that's this, it'll take you right there. There's a link to both versions.
Okay, well, we're going to have to take another break here, but when we come back, I'd like to talk about 2012, because you know that that's a topic that's on a lot of people's minds, and which has generated a lot of interest in the Mayans, and I'm glad we have you here to help clear some of this up, because there's just so much disinformation and incorrect.
We'll clear up a lot.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll be back in just a moment.
Reiki is a Japanese relaxation technique that promotes healing and balance. It is a form of energy work that helps unblock areas that are affected by illness, stress, grief, anxiety, or other types of trauma, and it can be given in person or from the Reiki practitioner to the recipient at a distance. It is gentle and soothing and is simple to learn as well. Our bodies have the natural ability to maintain health and heal themselves when energy flows smoothly throughout our energy system, and Reiki works well either by itself or along with traditional or alternative medical treatments to help keep energy channels flowing and the mind and body in balance. I offer Reiki, the Ho Chi, and other types of energy sessions in my home in Florence, Alabama, as well as distance Reiki to any location in the world. I also teach Reiki classes from levels 1 through Karuna Reiki Master, as well as the Ho Chi. To learn more, please visit alabamareiki.com. That's alabamareiki.com.
Want to start a website but don't know how? No problem. The experts at OCS Solutions have you covered. We offer a complete range of internet services, from domain name registration, web hosting, and even our easy-to-use website building tool that allows you to create a website with just a few clicks and be live in minutes. Pick from thousands of templates and samples, upload your own content, or use a mix of both. It's entirely up to you. And don't worry, you won't outgrow OCS. We host websites both small and large. Domain names start at just $8 a year and come loaded with plenty of extras to get you started. Visit OCSDomains.com to learn more or call 1-800-672-8415. That's OCSDomains.com or call 1-800-672-8415.
Well-rounded corners. We're lucky enough to have with us this evening Brigitte Rezine. We've been talking about the Mayan culture and the Mayan calendar. And in this last segment, Brigitte, I wanted to discuss 2012. It's such a big topic, but I just wanted to get your general thoughts on it. I'm not going to frame the question. I'm just going to stick the number out there. So what do you think?
Well, I think it's a fabulous time to be alive.
Absolutely.
And I think that this year it's basically 365 days, and of those, one has an issue. And if I were that day, I would have an issue too, because everyone is expecting me to end the world. So that's kind of a big responsibility.
Hadn't thought of it that way.
I mean, let's just face it. You know, it's kind of a huge responsibility for a 24-hour period.
Well, can this little guy live up to the challenge? I mean,
well, you know, it's so funny because just yesterday on Facebook, we posted this cartoon that we made. And it's also up on our website. It's the last slide in that slideshow. And it's got this little Mayan dude. Actually, it's the keeper of time. And he's got the world on his shoulders, literally and figuratively. And he's saying, they keep saying we're going to drop the ball in 2012. And we're running a little contest that if people can come up with a completion to what he's saying, although on the website there is one possibility, then we'll send them a free copy of either my book or Ken Johnson's book that we also published. So it's a little contest going on. And, you know, just to give people fun with it, because to be honest, it is absolutely ridiculous. The Maya themselves never prophesied the end of the world. The date of the 21st of December 2012 actually comes from another Mayan calendar called the Long Count. Now, the Long Count is basically out of order. It's a calendar that is no longer in use. It has not been in use for several centuries. Some scholars say up to 1,000 years. But for some reason, it has captured the imagination. Now, I understand why, because if you think about it, that date is the ending of a cycle that has lasted for 5,125 years. So that's a kind of a big deal. But it's just a massive New Year's Eve party, you know, on December 22nd.
Now that sounds good.
On December 22nd, the next cycle of 5,125 years is going to start. So it's an amazing time to be alive, I guess you could say, but you know, it's just a day. And I think that because if you look at the world's religions, particularly Christianity, and any religion that has the concept of guilt and sin built into it, the way Christianity does, then it kind of makes sense why people are freaking out. Because we are so conditioned to fear and to feel guilty and to feel like we've done something bad and that we're, you know, not divine and that we're sinners and we just do all these bad things. The whole concept of the world ending fits right into that. Yes. So it makes a lot of sense, and especially with what is going on in the world today, the environmental problems that, you know, unfortunately all of us have some role to play therein just by using the products that we do and eating meat every day. All of those things that we do have knock-on effects on the planet. We're using up way too many resources. There are far too many of us. And the planet is suffering as a result of that. So there is that guilt factor. And but I think rather than channeling it into, you know, some kind of apocalyptic doomsday scenario where you're basically giving up responsibility. So that's the lazy way out, I think. If you say, oh, it's the end of the world, I can just sit back and wait. Yes. And not my credit cards.
The external event or external savior coming along to do something about this existence, and I'm just not spiritually or karmically responsible for it, so whatever. That's very, very well put. I see that the cartoon, and actually I'd like to put that that would be great to have, like, and everybody, all of our listeners should see that maya-portal.com, the last little slide there, the Mayan holding up the earth, saying you're going to drop the ball.
I can send it to you, Robert. You can post it on your site.
Okay, great. That'd be great. I know people would like to see that. How do you think that, I mean, what's your theory as to how this disinformation got started as to 2012? I know the general concepts of what you're saying, but do you have any particular theory as to how this got started?
I have one word, Robert, and that's called marketing.
True. That's a good one to use.
if you really think about it, and I'm not going to name any specific faiths, but if you think about organized religion, the one thing that it has been incredibly good at since day one is marketing. Now, yes. Back then, they didn't have the concept of marketing, but they sure did a hell of a job with it because, you know, thousands of years later, we still believe in it, and we still feel guilty because of it, and we still feel bad about ourselves, and we're not allowing ourselves to think that we deserve better lives. So it's about control and power. It's about greed. It's about keeping the masses down. If you think about, you know, what happens when a country is full of intellectuals, well, there are certain things that are just not allowed to happen. And those things are bad. So those people who tend to like power, they know that means they've got to keep people down. And the way to keep people down is to keep them sick and fat and stupid. So, you know, sorry to be so blunt, but
that was pretty well said in my view. But
in my view as well, that's pretty much the case. Yeah.
What I'm saying is that people are kept uneducated. They're kept eating food that's not good for them, that causes disease. And so that they don't really have time to think for themselves and to work on having a better life. And I think that's really the most appalling, subtle, unspoken truth about the way that society works today.
Isn't it ironic that the Spanish conquistadors, who had a large hand in the destruction, or maybe completely responsible for the destruction of the the Mayans, or at least, you know, I know they're still around, but you know what I mean? It certainly put a huge dent in their society. Isn't it ironic that the religion that they were coming to bring to them, in your view, is co-opting something from their religion to increase fear? That's a very interesting concept. I mean, it's almost copyright infringement.
It's a very interesting way of putting it. Well, actually, you know, that's what happened when Cortez came into town. I mean, the Spanish actually knew a thing or two already about the Mayan prophecies back then, and so they chose the specific day to arrive, knowing that the Maya kings would think, oh, this is the day of Quetzalcoatl, and this is the embodiment because you've got this, you know, great horseman arriving. And so they gave themselves up willingly, thinking the prophecy is coming to fruition. And so the Spanish apparently did study the Maya prophecies and used it to their own agenda. So, it, you know, again, marketing.
Ooh! I was just thinking the karma on that really has to be bad. I mean, to use their own.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's. I didn't know that. That's not good.
But I mean, there's plenty of groups though around the internet and other places that have been talking about 2012 and in a non-religious context. And you know. How does that come into play? I mean, is it still related to marketing? Or are we talking about well-meaning individuals who, you know, who have done a lot of research and just come to conclusions that may fit into a paradigm that is not really what the Mayans intended? Or you know what I'm referring to, right?
I mean,
there's a lot of really good meaning, well-meaning researchers out there about this.
Yeah, well, I think well-meaning and researcher doesn't quite go well in the same sentence. And that's because researchers are researchers, and so they study and they observe, and their intentions are, you know, ideally secondary to that research, because you really can't have your ego in it, and even well-meaning carries a hint of ego in it. So I've never personally spoken to a single scholar or researcher who would share a different idea about 2012 than I do, or who would assign to it any sort of importance, to be quite honest. In fact, the Maya scholars we work with, notably Dr. Robert Sittler, who's at Stetson University in Florida, and Ken Johnson, who's a very well-respected author. He wrote the other book that we just published called Mayan Calendar Astrology. Ken has studied with the Maya for many, many years. He's been going down to Guatemala regularly. And he will tell you that when you go down there and you start talking to the real Maya about 2012, a lot of them will look at you like, what are you talking about? What do you mean 2012? A lot of them don't, they're just not familiar with the concept. So you have Westerners going down to Guatemala telling the Maya about the end of the world is in 2012.
You know, that's pretty funny.
I like how it's news to them.
Yeah, it's complete news. You said, okay.
I never said that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember ever saying that in my calendar.
Yeah. And so, you know, I kind of think, gosh, is that how celebrities feel when they read People magazine? So,
yes, I never said that.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, and then the same thing with a lot of these, a lot of the new age videos you see on YouTube where it claims that the Maya came from the Pleiades and the ancestors came from the Pleiades. Well, sorry. I don't know where they came from, but the Maya don't think that, they're not actually very familiar with the Pleiades. So there's a lot of misconception, not just about 2012. And that's why I think it's important that our site exists, because we're constantly setting people straight and constantly telling them, no, the world is not ending, and here's why. So it's worse than mosquitoes. I mean, it's just a very persistent problem.
Well, but there is one aspect though that I do find interesting, and that is that and there is some significance to the calendar in this respect that I see in terms of this 2012 thing. In that it does, it's very interesting how the calendar does line up with actual celestial events. you know, and how it seems to have lined up with the great cycle and whatnot in regards to the precession of the equinoxes. It's a real testament to how astute the observers, astute observers the Mayan were, or of celestial events, time, you know, and how these things related. So I mean, in one respect, I mean, I would agree. My gut feeling has always been that it's sort of a it's not the end of the world. But then on another, I've always kind of had a positive feeling about it, though. And just to have a culture that, you know, many would consider ancient, be in some ways so ahead in sacred time, as you say, it's just a fascinating thing that they could have all that information right and know things that we're just now beginning to uncover. And we think, you know, some people think they're the backwards one. And that's a very strange thought, because in some ways what I'm learning is maybe it's the reverse.
Yeah, well, that's the whole idea about perception of and living in time. You know, we think that just because we're living later in time that we're somehow more advanced, and that's not at all the case.
No.
And I can explain to you why that is. Our conception of time is linear, so no wonder we think like that. The Mayan conception of time is cyclical. And so they live on these upwardly and downwardly moving spirals of time, of cycles. So there is no beginning and no end. And that's another point of great contention. You have a lot of people thinking, well, what's the beginning of the Tolkien calendar? And they say it's one Imish. Well, it's not. There is no beginning and no end. It's kind of like, you know, when you hop onto a merry-go-round, tell me what the beginning of a merry-go-round is.
Oh, yes. There is,
you just jump on and enjoy the ride.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. I like that analogy. That's a good one, actually.
It's the same thing of, to me, is when we described, you know, the Earth rotating and giving us day and night. We quote unquote had to draw the line somewhere, and we just drew it right through London. That would be where we separated. It sounds kind of like that. I mean, just because at the end of the day, it doesn't mean that's the end of the world. I mean, you could look at it like that. It's just the next cycle, and right. It's nothing to be feared, really, is it?
Well, you know, when the Brits stop having tea, that's going to be the end of the world.
Well, that's a good point, yes.
Well, Rashid, it's been absolutely wonderful having you here. I believe that, I mean, not only have we been definitely have learned a lot about the Mayans and the calendar, I hope our listeners have as well. And we're going to have all the links to your site, the materials we talked about linked on the show in this post, wellroundedcorners.com. Is there any, like, if people wanted to get a hold of you, you know, if you want to give us your contact info or how sure. People can reach you?
Yeah, sure. The best way is through email. And that email is info@maya-portal.net. And I can personally read that email, so that would be good. That would be probably the best way to get to me.
And maya-portal.net, it's just a wonderful site. We're going to have it linked. I hope people check it.
I hope people go. I've been having a really good time looking at the interpretations of the different parts, and it's really interesting. I would suggest you go, and anybody listening, go and check this out. It's fun too.
And check out her book. Serpent and the Jaguar: A Living in Sacred Time. And the Mayan Astrology app on iTunes Store and Android Market. Check that out as well. Very neat tool.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, and it's been an absolute pleasure. I hope to talk to you guys again.
Absolutely. Yes, you have given me an education, and I appreciate it.
Oh, well, you are most welcome.
This will be all for today's episode, but remember, check us out on wellroundedcorners.com. Also, iTunes, search us Well Rounded Corners. Until next time.